think about a lot of stupid stuff, right? So where that's concerned, I'm glad you've been around. But to tell you the truth, it's made me nervous, too.
In what way?
Well, how can I put this? Sometimes when I'm looking at you, I get this feeling like maybe you're fighting real hard against something for me. I know this sounds weird, but when that happens, I feel like I'm right with you, sweating with you. See what I mean? You always look so cool. Like no matter what happens, it's got nothing to do with you, but you're not really like that. In your own way, you're out there fighting as hard as you can, even if other people can't tell by looking at you. If you weren't, you wouldn't have gone into the well like that, right? But anyhow, you're not fighting for me, of course. You're falling all over yourself, trying to wrestle with this big whatever it is, and the only reason you're doing it is so you can find Kumiko. So there's no point in me getting all sweaty for you. I know all that. But still, I can't help feeling that you are fighting for me, Mr. Wind-Up Bird. That in a way, you're probably fighting for a lot of other people at the same time you're fighting for Kumiko. And that's maybe why you look like an absolute idiot sometimes. That's what I think, Mr. Wind-Up Bird. But when I see you doing this, I get all tense and nervous. And I end up feeling totally drained. I mean, it looks like you can't possibly win. If I had to bet on the match, I'd bet on you to lose. Sorry, but that's how it is. I like you a lot, but I don't want to go broke.
I understand completely.
I don't want to watch you going under, and I don't want to sweat any more for you than I already have. That's why I've decided to go back to a world that's a little more normal. But if I hadn't met you here in front of this vacant house, I don't think things would have turned out this way. I never would have thought about going back to school. I'd still be hanging around in some not-so-normal world. So in that sense, it's all because of you, Mr. Wind-Up Bird. You're not totally useless.
I nodded. It was the first time in a long time that anyone had said anything nice about me.
Come here, Mr. Wind-Up Bird,
said Mei Kasahara. She raised herself up in her deck chair. I got out of my chair and went to hers.
Sit down right here, Mr. Wind-Up Bird,
said Mei Kasahara. I did as I was told and sat down next to her.
Show me your face, Mr. Wind-Up Bird.
She stared at me for a time. Then, placing one hand on my knee, she pressed the palm of the other against the mark on my cheek.
Poor Mr. Wind-Up Bird,
said Mei Kasahara in a near whisper.
I know you're going to take on all kinds of things, even before you know it. And you won't have any choice in the matter. The way rain falls in a field. And now close your eyes, Mr. Wind-Up Bird. Really tight. Like they're glued shut.
I closed my eyes tight. Mei Kasahara touched her lips to my mark. Her lips were small and thin, like an extremely well-made imitation. Then she parted those lips and ran her tongue across my mark. Very slowly. Covering every bit of it. The hand she had placed on my knee remained there the whole time. Its warm, moist touch came to me from far away, from a place still farther than if it had passed through all the fields in the world. Then she took my hand and touched it to the wound beside her eye. I caressed the half-inch scar. As I did so, the waves of her consciousness pulsed through my fingertips and into me, a delicate resonance of longing. Someone should take this girl in his arms and hold her tight, I thought. Probably someone other than me. Someone qualified to give her something.
Goodbye, Mr. Wind-Up Bird. See you again sometime.
16. The simplest thing. Revenge in a sophisticated form. The thing in the guitar case.